Okay, I sort of messed up before. I wanted to pause. I don't know how to pause. So we're starting again the second shiur in Derech Hashem, Wednesday, Ches Elul, 30th of August, Tavshinayin Zion, 2017, the second shiur in Derech Hashem, and we're starting again from section one, Perek 1, paragraph 1. Okay, Mrs. Noah was like the Makala of the shiur. Yeah, but I was talking down that office. Good. I started being masupik if it's an idea. I gave two shiur a week for many years on Fabus Halvavus. Sunday we learned one sha'ar, and Wednesday we learned a different sha'ar. After like 10 years, Halvavus, I'm getting old. Okay, so there, Hashem, and I said, okay, I'll say the same two shiur a week, but we'll continue. I thought that's a good idea. If someone, I don't know, if people want to learn the sefer. And, you know, it's easy for me to two times, not to commit to me, but even to themselves, to commit to two times a week. So even though each, as we say, is self-contained and makes sense, and you didn't miss anything, we'll just, everything will be understandable, I hope, in and of itself each year. But maybe, I don't know, some specifics. So I told Mrs. No, we made up Mrs. No, that maybe she would ask the ladies what they want. Don't tell me what you want. I can't even deal with my wife. Certainly not 25 ladies. So to learn something else on one of the 2 days. Good old Shara Vitaha. Can never get enough of that. Well, maybe we'll say it. Tanya. I don't know. Das Tavunos. Sil Susharim. We'll learn the others as nice. Okay. So this is more like it. Sunday got me intimidated. Okay. Like it. I expect an even worse showing next Sunday. So I'll mamish feel more at home. Okay. So we're learning a Sefer Derech from Al Ramchal, and just a little more. He was in Italy. And he was actually chased out of Italy because of the accusations against him, as I talked about last week, because of the trauma of Shavsi Tzvi. And he had another person talking about how he talked to Malachim, and very Kabbalistic. And not very Kabbalistic, but enough Kabbalistic to raise people's ire. And they had just undergone that trauma. So he went to Amsterdam. And that's where he wrote his major Sfarim. He wrote a lot of Sfarim, but his major Sfarim were written in Amsterdam. He then moved to Eretz Israel, where he died in a plague at a relatively young age. So that's the story. Italy, Amsterdam, where the Sfarim were written, and Eretz Israel, in Akko. The Sefer Derech Hashem is an explanation. It's not about, you know, major things. It's like an explanation of the universe. And I just spoke of you.
Yeah.
I said, you're going to talk to the ladies about continuing and learning twice a week in a continuous fashion. Or maybe we should learn it once a week and learn something else the other day. Or maybe it's time to just learn once a week. You know, my voice sounds like that. Okay, so Derech Hashem is the story of the universe. The depth of... You know, when we say Yiddishkeit, you know, people sometimes make a mistake. You know, you talk about Yiddishkeit, so you say, okay, there's religions in the world, and Yiddishkeit is one of the religions. But they say, oh, no, we have the true religion. But even that's not true. Yiddishkeit is relevant to Goyim also. Hashem is Hashem, and Goyim has to serve Hashem. They just have a different way of serving Hashem. But there's no such thing as, so to speak, as Judaism, the religion, and that's the Jews, and we don't look for converts. The reason we don't look for converts is because Goyim have to serve Hashem also in their own way. So they don't have to become converts. They could become converts if they want to, you know, have a higher level of functioning vis-a-vis Hashem. But when you talk about Yiddishkeit, and you say Derech Hashem is the story of Yiddishkeit, much of it is relevant to every person in the world. Just as we learned in Chodesh Halvavos, that our basic hakaras hatov to Hashem for being alive and for our body functioning and for the laws of physics and science and all the amazing niflaos habori in the world, that's demands, and that compels everybody. And that's where Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach come from. They have to serve Hashem. Just like we talk about, we have to serve Hashem as an expression of thanks to Hashem. That's part of Rosh's worldview, that everything is one big thank you to Hashem. The Goyim have to do that also. In fact, he says in Shaar Avodas Elokim that the basic thanks of regular stuff that he talks about in Shaar HaBechina that requires Goyim to serve Hashem. They just serve Hashem with the Zion mitzvahs. And we, because Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim and made us a special nation, because we're the descendants of Avram Avinu, and even Gerim automatically, Gerim are like adopted by Avram Avinu. Until it's an adoption. And now they're full-fledged children of Avram Avinu, full-fledged descendants. They were just adopted, not born into it. And, but you know, after you're adopted, you're a full-fledged member of the family. And so we have more mitzvahs and special mitzvahs and a higher level of communing with Hashem. A guy could rationally decide to stay a guy and to serve Hashem in the way that he's supposed to serve Hashem. I'm just saying the word Yiddishkeit, we sometimes think of it as, you know, circle the wagons, everybody, we're the Jews. But the Ramchal explains that Yiddishkeit is relevant to every being in the world. Not for us. So he explains the universe, and he explains everything in the universe, what we're doing here. And he says he's going to do it in a very clear and orderly and systematic way. He wrote books, Svarim on logic. And this is written towards the end of his life, and all his Svarim on logic you see coming to the fore here. When you see Derech Hashem cited somewhere, there will be three numbers. Because the Sefer is split into four sections. The first section is called Yesodos HaMetzius, Fundamental Principles of Reality. How's that? That's kid stuff. Yeah, and the second section is about Hashgacha Pratis and everything about Hashgacha Pratis, Chal Yisrael, the Goyim, people, what different kinds of Hashgacha Pratis, how it works, why, you know, Hashgacha Pratis. The third section is about the Neshama and Nevuah and supernatural things that are not in the physical world, in the scientifically physical world, metaphysical stuff. That's the third section. And the fourth section, which is really, well, the fourth section is Avodas Hashem. The fourth section is, why is everything we just learned in the first three sections, why? So what am I doing when I make a bracha? What am I doing when I'm davening? What am I doing when I'm putting on tefillin? What is mezuzah? Challah? Shabbos? Yomtiv? Every day? Kriyat Shema? Doing staka? Doing chesed? Like, how everything fits into this total picture of Hashem's universe. That's in the fourth section. I toyed with the idea of just learning the fourth section, but I can't. We have to learn the whole thing. You can drop out and come back in like 6 years. Okay. And he talks about in his Hadama. I didn't think I did such a good job last week of explaining it. He says, number one, you have to understand things in a structured way, not haphazardly, because if you just understand them haphazardly, you're just trying to cram a bunch of facts into your head. Probably computers, you know that also. I don't know computers. I don't know how to press certain buttons. But if you know computers, you see that it's amazingly mesudar, and that's why it could store so much information, because there's, what do they call it? I don't know, like, the person that tried to teach me computers 20 years ago taught me on, like, not on with the pictures. This is like baby stuff or so. It's like baby because it's pictures. But he taught me on Apple. I don't know, some different system. Sets, subsets, and file. I don't know, all sorts of things. He said, that's number one. It should not be chaotic. And therefore, you have, and included in that, he says, is you have to understand everything. It's like, if I want to understand myself, so I have to understand myself and how I relate to my family, and how I relate to the shul, I relate to Klal Yisrael. You have to understand in its own context and in relation to the whole. And that's number two. And therefore, he makes four general categories. Something's either an entire entity or part of a whole. Something is either a cause or an effect. Something is either a general instance of a principle or instance of a special. And something is either essential or quality. Like a tree is essentially a tree. How big it is, how wide it is, how beautiful it is not the essentiality of a tree, it's an attribute of a tree. So he says when you learn things, and really you can learn the whole Derech Hashem in view of the Hakdama and see how he is doing to Yiddishkeit, to the Bria, to the universe, to Hashem's creation, exactly what he said he's doing, and he's explaining how everything fits in, everything has its niche, how everything relates to everything else. It's physics, it's spiritual physics, and everything is explained, and there's formulas, and there's, when there's a gap that's filled in, and that's something. Otherwise, it's just a mumble jumble, and it's chaotic, and you end up getting depressed, and you end up just walking away. It's just too much, or you'll just cram and memorize it for the test, but you won't really understand it. To really understand it, this is the fundamental understanding, and that's just Hagdamah to the Sefer. He doesn't give an excuse why he's writing the Sefer. He doesn't talk about what he'll be talking about. The principles of rational thinking, which he applies obviously to the Sefer. Now, so the 111, which means section 1, paragraph. You have four sections. Each section is split into chapters. Each chapter is split into paragraphs, and they're all numbered. So when you see Derech Hashem quoted or something, there will always be three numbers. It will be like 2, 6, 4. It means it's the second section, paragraph 6, paragraph 4. That's how Derech Hashem is cited. So we're up to 1-1. And it's either going to be boring, or it's going to be too esoteric, or too philosophical. But he has to start with Hashem. He has to start with the entity known as Hashem. He will say that our minds cannot grasp Hashem. It's impossible for us to grasp Hashem. If we could grasp Hashem, it wouldn't be Hashem, or we'd be Hashem, or something like that. It's beyond human comprehension. But he says exactly what's beyond our comprehension. And that's important to know. And therefore, we're going to learn the Perek. It's either going to be boring because it doesn't seem to have any relevance. Although, I mean, the Rambam says the hardest mitzvah is Emunah. The hardest mitzvah is to really, really Yichud Hashem. There's reasons why the Chavis Halvavah spends a shahr on Shar HaYichud, his reasons why Emunah is coming back into vogue now. It's probably a safer a month written on Emunah. Book of the Month Club, Emunah. But it is fundamental. It's fundamental. And the more you think about Hashem, the more you realize he is a reality and he is, for example, just one example. Maybe we'll even get to learn the Sefer today, but as an example, he says Hashem is created everything and is responsible for its continued existence. Right? I think that's a very familiar idea to us. I build a table and then I walk away and the table exists on its own. Hashem's will is constantly the siba, the reason why everything's existing. Hashem does not have to destroy the table to get away the table. If Hashem's will that there be a table there would cease, then the table would cease to exist. Everything is a figment of Hashem's imagination. That's how you can think of it. You can picture something in your mind, and then when you stop thinking about it, it disappears. It's not there anymore. That's Hashem. That's us. We're not really real. Sorry. I'm sorry, I don't know how to break the news to you. We're Hashem's dream. We're Hashem's imagination. Hashem's will. Hashem wants us. But when you think about that, and you realize that means Hashem wants me to exist every moment that I exist, And all of a sudden, I feel very close to Hashem. Hashem wants me to exist, or I wouldn't exist. I'm not existing now because I existed a second ago, and I happen to have not died. Cosmos, no. That's one of his major points in the first parak, and it's a Chinuch's major point too. Hashem Himtzi, he created everything out of nothing, you know. And he is continuously the cause of its existence. And if that will would be withdrawn, it would just cease to exist, because everything is only a manifestation of Hashem's will. But that is inspiring, because that means Hashem is looking at me now and wants me to be. So I have to live up to that. It's just an example how something that seems to be a philosophical point could really and should really be something very real in my life, because Hashem wants me to be here now. So I better get cracking, right? Okay. So that's going to be the first paragraph. It's fundamental. What can you say? And because of his insistence on logic and structure, then he has to start at the basics. You can't skip over the basics, because if you don't build the foundation properly, then there's going to be a problem with the building and with anything else. So, Aleph. Al Yisodos HaMetzius is the name of the section. The principles of reality. Perek Rishon is Hashem. The Vori is Korach Shemo. Kalishmi Yisrael, which I said last week, I don't really understand, because it really applies to Goyim as well, but he wasn't writing the Sefer for Goyim, so I guess he was talking to us, so he said Kalishmi Yisrael. It means women too. I don't know if any feminists in the room, but the word mankind means everybody. There's no womankind, just like there's no female men giving out the mail. It's mailmen. That was a joke. Okay. Kalishmi Yisrael, or if you want to insist on being a feminist, you say a male woman. Male man, a male woman. But man was always a generic term for human. It's only the Shigas that they have to say humankind. Okay, Kalishmi Yisrael, Soresh Sheyamin V'yeda Sheyesham. Okay, that has to believe. We took this very, very quickly. When we say the word emuno, we sort of think of blind faith. But that is not true. It's a mistake. Emuna means to be totally sure and certain about something. I'm sure of it. I have emuna means I'm sure of it. There are two ways to reach emuna. Even though the word emuna, I'm not being so exact, because the word there's a mitzvah of emuna, but according to the Chavis HaLavos, let's say, and according to the Rambam, it's laid out to know and to work it out, whether it's philosophically or through examination of science, examination of the physical world. That's emuna, even though I am totally convinced. I'm totally convinced. The chinuch, who's against philosophy, who's against reaching emuna through chakira and through philosophy, defines emuna as defines the obligation to have emuna as ultimately you have to work on this. You know, acquire it in a second, because of course you're listening to this brilliant shiur. This is something to think about, to read about, to learn, is to be totally convinced that it's true and it can't possibly be otherwise. It can't be otherwise. Now we have emuna, as I said, that George Washington existed. If I press you and I say, could it possibly be otherwise? No way. It's impossible. So that's what the chinuch holds emuna. But it means to be totally convinced of it, emuna. You can reach emuna through, in other words, you can reach emuna like Avraham Avinu did. Okay, let's say it that way. Nobody told him, there was no Kabbalah, there was no Masorah, it wasn't passed on from father to son. Avraham Avinu figured it out. Chavavavis and Shar HaYichud figures it out through philosophical principles which are foreign to us. We think scientifically. We don't think the way the Greek philosophy have certain principles and theorems and fundamentals and you reach a truth not through empirical scientific evidence, but through certain philosophical yesodos that they held to be true. And Chazalot proves Hashem's existence and that Hashem is one that way. People don't learn it now because it doesn't speak to us. And when someone wants to be a kofer in Hashem, he doesn't come with philosophical proofs. He comes with a demand for scientific proof. Now, so that's one way. Chazalot's whole, and that's called Yediyah. In other words, that's like Avraham Avinu. That's cool. Even the other way, the Chinuch, who says, no, it's impossible. We have to rely on the Masorah, the tradition that we have from Har Sinai. And I told you that's 3 million people seeing something and seeing it, perceiving it, knowing it. And everybody gave it over to their children. And even if we assume a generation is 25 years and no one sees their grandfather or grandmother, so it's still only around 140 people between Matan Torah and me. 25 times 140 and you're at Matan Torah. And it's 3 million people. And there's no time in history where there wasn't a Pesach Seder. Always a Pesach Seder. So this, and then the story was told. She hasn't tried it. Matan Torah. So that's pretty good. And then you have other svaras, but that's not Yediyah. That's what they refer to as Emunah. But the Chinuch describes Emunah as being totally convinced that it's true and it cannot possibly be otherwise. But the Chinuch does not like Chakira, we'll call it, and he likes this idea of tradition, 3 million people, and I'm getting, he doesn't say this, but I always think like, it's not that many people. It's not like a game of telephone that could break. 3 million people every single year had a Pesach Seder. And people saw their grandfathers. So it's really 70 people. It's not 140 people. It's really 70 people. You assume people saw their grandfathers. There's only 70 people between Matan Torah and me. 70 people. It's filled this room. It did on Sunday. Now we ran away. I scared them away. Anyway, 70 people is not a lot of people. And every single year they told the story. It's not like they told the story once every 10 years and in the middle, who knows what. They told the story every single year. How could it not be true? 3 million people every single year, 70 people? Shame. That's how the Chinuch holds. How did the first people know it? They saw it. They reached the Madrega of Nevuah like Moshe Rabbeinu, and the skies were opened up, the Medrash describes, and they perceived Hashem in a way that would never be replicated in human history. They perceived Hashem. They perceived Hashem's reality. The descriptions in Devarim at the end of Yisro describe a very unforgettable experience. Okay, so, but the Chazal Bavos and the Rambam and Moreh Nevuchim as the chief architects of that shita say it's actually obligatory to be like Avraham Avinu, to figure it out for yourself, besides our Masorah. And they hold that's the mitzvah, the Emunah demands that. And that means that without any outside forces, I'm Avraham Avinu, I'm in a cave, and I'm watching the sun rise and the sun set, and the moon, and I'm studying the Hashem. Now the Chazal Halvavus says, has two ways to do that. With Greek philosophy, I'll call it Greek philosophy, but they probably got it from Shlomo HaMelech, because Yehoshua and Aristotle, they were the buddies of Plato, maybe, I don't know, one of them. Who did Yehoshua meet, Plato or Aristotle? There's a story how he met him after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the conversation that they had. Plato, I think. And so that's Sharei Yichud, that's the Rambam's way also, because that was operative. It meant something to people. It wasn't what we call scientific. It was philosophical fundamental principles that they held to be true. Nowadays, people just shrug it off. Because they're busy with their smartphones. They don't care. anything that makes people think is a non-starter nowadays. Chodesh Halvavos has a brilliant bridge, a brilliant substitute, and that's Shara Bechina. That's also not Mesorah Midor Dor. Because any time you examine the Bria, anything you examine in the Bria, this was 1,000 years ago, you'll see Hashem. It's an ordered universe. It's a pragmatic universe. Things work. Everything works. We who know, you know, a 10-year-old now that can go to Wikipedia, you know, knows 1,000 times more than the biggest learned person in the time of the Chodesh Halvavos. Anything, right? You type in eyelashes, and you can study that for the next 10 years, what eyelashes do, and what their purpose is. I'm not talking about false eyelashes. What they do, and how they protect your eyes, and like, you're seeing Hashem. That's what Chodesh Halvavos is playing. But the Chinuch doesn't like any of it. He says, I want you to rely on the Sora, and that, but the Chinuch also defines Emunah as not blind faith, but being reaching the Madrega where it can't be otherwise. You're not going to reach it in a day, you're not going to reach it in a week, but probably what works is a combination of the Chinuch's point about 3 million people seeing an event and giving it over to their children. And that's my point, that it's only 70 people, and that they did it every single year. There's no record when it wasn't done. It was done every single year. And Rabbi Victor Miller really popularized again the Chodesh Halvavos Shaar HaBechina, where you look at the Nifloos HaBore and you say, look how structured and ordered and planned the entire universe is. But this is a chiyuv to have emunah. Okay? Now, the Derech Hashem, okay, they're both true. He likes them both. He likes the chinuch's way more, the Mesorah, he's going to say. But you can do it through Hakira if that's your thing. Well, that's okay. So he's like, he's a politician. Everybody's right. Kalishmi Yisrael. Tzorach Sheyamin V'yeda. So those two words, Sheyesham Motzri Rishon, there's something that exists. That's all we can say about Hashem, is that He exists. Even though that's the only word we have. He is. Kadmon, He always was. V'nitzchi, He always will be. And these are not, it happens to be that way. This is the nature of Hashem. It couldn't possibly be otherwise. The definition of Hashem is some power that exists, that always was and always will be, and is Kol Yochol, and like the whole of the 13 Imamins. That's the definition of Hashem. It's not that it's something called Hashem and He has superpowers, like Superman. He's very strong. Hashem by nature is everything. Everything that is Hashem. For who Shehimtzi, He created, Umamtzi. Mamtzi is the present. He continues to always bring into existence, because it's His always constant will that nothing exists because it existed a minute ago. Nothing. That's for sure. Hashem's will is constant. That He wants this to continue to exist. You could philosophize if He wants it to exist or He wants it to continue to exist. Because we learn that He's not doing Yesh Me'ayin every second. Yesh Me'ayin is a phenomena reserved to Sheshis and Abrasius. Or even Yom Rishon, according to most Rishon. Only Yom Rishon. So His will is that it continue to exist. That's included in His will, that it can continue. Kol Mashenimtzim B'Metzius, and that means, it doesn't mean a table. It means logic, and rules of logic, and rationality, and everything. 1 + 1 = 2. Time. We have the biggest load. If you have a little piece of Einstein's theory, then you can understand more that time is also just a bria of Hashem, that Hashem created. It's not objectively muchrach, it could actually bend and change. So everything, time, rationality, everything is, He created everything. Can't pin Hashem down. This is what's wrong. We're going to learn this later. The Ramchal is going to give, listen, okay, you're in a philosophical mood. Listen. The Ramchal is going to say in the next parak why Hashem created the world. But that can't be why Hashem created the world. Because if you tell me Hashem created the world for a reason, that means the reason preceded Hashem. And that means Hashem is tied to the reason. And He had to create the world because of this reason. But that's not true. Chassid Shalom. You're not allowed to think like that. So when the Ramchal is explaining what Hashem had in mind when He created the world, but not why He created the world in the sense of what prompted Him to create the world, because if that's a true thing, that means that controlled Hashem. Hashem said, oh man, I gotta do chesed, I gotta create the world. Chas v'shalom. Nothing compels Hashem to do anything. So there's a question what the Ramchal means. And if it's coupled with that Hashem wanted to, we say Hashem wanted to create a world, Hashem wanted to do chesed. He's not compelled to do anything. He wants to. Why does Hashem want? Impossible to answer, because the nature of Hashem is whatever it is. And we ultimately can't grasp Hashem. But we certainly can't say that Hashem is bound by any rules of logic. He's not bound by chesed. He's not bound by what we call tov, because He created tov. He defined tov. It's just words we use. So He created everything. V'hu Eloka Baruch Hu. That's it. This is a biggie sentence. This is a, This is all basic emuna. Shamotzui hazer, this thing that exists, that is, Yisbarach Shemo. Now he says, Ein amitos mitzius o museges luzulos o klau, which means we can't really grasp the nature of Hashem. We can't. So it's beyond our ability to grasp with our human minds. We are mugbal, we have limits, we are creatures of limitations. We are physical. We can't even imagine what a malach means. We say words, but we don't have a picture. We don't visualize it. We don't really grasp. Certainly we cannot grasp what Hashem is. And also Hashem, since He's lo gevuli, Hashem is kol yochol, Hashem is intrinsically everything, shleimus, right? No chisaron. So we can't grasp that. Hashem has to exist. We cannot even grasp that there is something that has to exist, and it can't not exist. Everything we relate to can not exist. This could not exist. In fact, what gives most things, maybe everything, our sense of reality is the fact that it could not exist, but it does exist. And therefore, that's how we perceive it as reality. I'll give you a perfect example of something that you cannot conceive of not existing. And therefore, I submit to you, you don't think of it as a reality. And that's time. You cannot, maybe it's Einstein, if you understand this theory.
Yeah.
E equals MC squared. If you understand this, but before, we can't conceive of time not existing, because what do you mean? So what happens the next second? And therefore we don't think of time as a reality, because it's pervasive. It doesn't not exist. To our finite human minds, time cannot not exist. So therefore, but by that token, we don't think of it as a reality. It just is. But that's not true. Zman was created by Hashem, but that's Hashem. Hashem cannot not exist, He just is. And that's why we cannot grasp it, because our minds can only grasp something. Could exist, can't exist. And in fact, that's what gives it a dimension of reality. The fact that, oh, it exists. So we can think of it. So Ramchal says, you know, let's face it. Ein amitus mitziyusa musegas luzulos al klal. V'rak zeh no dabodi. We say words. We know about him. Shehu motzui sholem b'chol minei shleimus. There's no lack. He has no shortcomings. He's everything. And he has everything. Kol yochol kol gibor. There's no flaw, there's no chisaron. Shleimus. Hashem is not stronger than anybody in the whole wide world. He's not strong. We say he's strong, but it's a different idea. When we think of strength, we think of, am I able to do this? How strong am I? Hashem is kol yachol. Hashem is everything. Hashem created everything. Hashem is responsible for everything. Hashem, it's all that. V'ulam dvarim eli yudanim b'kabbalah. Here he talks about the Kabbalah like the chinuch, min ha'avos u'min ha'nevi'im. We have them b'kabbalah from our avos, because how do we know all this is true? So the Chovech HaLavos proves it, philosophically, that there has to be a being that preceded everything and has no flaws and no shortcomings and is responsible for everything. He doesn't go in that direction. He says, we have this b'kabbalah. Look, the Hisigim call Yisrael b'may ben har Sinai. There they perceived it, they saw it. V'yodata hayom, ato ha-reis l'das, k'yashem u'olkin b'shmanim imam ha-ovdach as they know. V'omdu al-amitusom b'birur. They saw it, they perceived it. They were like, Chinuch, I think, says Madrega Moshe Rabbeinu for those moments. The lindum l'vneim dor achar dor, and every generation gave over to every other generation. As I said, it's not that many generations. 25 years, it's 140 people. Kayom hazeh. This is borer. 3 million people. Shekain, wait, please let me just finish the paragraph. Shekain, no, I'm not going to finish the paragraph, but let me finish the sentence. So you see, according to this shita of the Rishonim of the Kadmonim, this is a very, very key pasuk, because everything is built on Lodatam Lufanecha Lufnei Vanecha. But it's, as I say, every year, 3 million people, every single year, and it's just, it is indeed inconceivable that it's not so. Every other story, I don't want to say the word other religion, but I hate that phrase, but every other story boils down to one person. Yes?
Time-wise, how much later was the Ramchal to the Chovech HaLevavos, like relationship-wise?
Well, Chovech HaLevavos was very, very early. Chovech HaLevavos was 2 centuries before the Rambam, a century before Rashi. Chovech HaLevavos was a Talmud of the Gaonim. He was from the first Rishonim. It was very, very, very early. But yeah, the Ramchal is like the time of the Vilna Gaon, like a little before the Vilna Gaon, 1700. You're talking about 700-800 years later.
Uh-huh.
But this is an old machlokes that goes back to the Rambam and Mor Nevuchim and the tainus on the Rambam and the fights about the Rambam and Mor Nevuchim. And this is like an old machlokes. The Rambam, he's being a politician now. Look at the next paragraph. Not numbered paragraph.
Right.
Now, I don't know exactly what he means by Mosim Halimudim. He might mean philosophical principles like the Chovech HaLevavos. He might mean Shar HaBechina, science. You could, if that's your thing, you could do it. You see, the Chinuch screams that you can't. And don't bother. Because you'll never get to the end, because there'll always be one more question and one more, you know, cynical thing that you really can. But he says it is possible. Let's just leave it as a machlokas. Yeomsu can be verified. Kol ha'yonim ha'elu. Now you don't need the Kabbalah and the Avos and the Hanaviyim. These things can be logically proven. I said like Avraham Avinu did it. The Yuchar Hayosim came. And it has to be true also, this is more Shara Bechina, Mikolach Hanin Sol, Sumasigehem, Asher Onachu Roam Beinenu, Al Pichochmas HaTeva, that's the physical world, Handosa, physics or math, whatever, Hatchuna, Ushar Chachmos, all the, this is Chagdala Ushar HaBechina, that all the disciplines show you that there's a Hashem in the world. You see Hashem because of everything, because of math, because of the laws of science, because of the laws of biology, because of plant life. He goes through seven disciplines in Shar HaBechina, and then he talks about history, but even the seven scientific disciplines that he talks about in Shar HaBechina, he says, you have to be, see Hashem. You have to be a liar or a phony to not see Hashem in the wondrous Bria that we have. So he says both the philosophy and the Shar HaBechina. And you derive from that all of these basic principles that I'm telling you about. That Hashem is called Yochol, that Hashem has to be a first cause, and the first cause has to constantly be willing everything to exist, etc. This is not the purpose of this sefer. I am not writing proofs to Hashem's existence. I'm saying what I said in two short paragraphs, because I have to give you the whole picture, and this is the foundation. But I'm not going to start proving this to you now. That you do. Go to other svarim, other places, other times to research the proofs. Elanatsiya hamdamba, so I'm just going to tell it to you. This is what a Jew must believe, must know, slash believe. Unasadr hadvarim alburiyam, and I'm going to be Nasadr. This is what Perek Aleph in section Aleph is about. The things that we're mechuyev to believe and know about Hashem. Kfi hamasor shebiyodeinu, v'hamufursa b'chol umoseinu. These things are well known. I'm not telling you anything radical. I'm not making up a new religion. Paragraph Gimel Ol Torah Sheyeda, you have to know Shehamotzri Hazeh Yisparach Shemo, this thing that exists, he named it Tziyus or Tziyus Mukhrach, Sheyefsher Hadero Klal. I talked about that a bit already. He can't not exist. Now, what would be if Hashem wouldn't exist? It's a nonsense. It doesn't mean anything. There's no such thing. We are used to things either existing or not existing. Hashem, by definition, comes before existence. He made existence. What does that mean? I don't know. Ramchal says he's not going to be able to really grasp these things. Dalet otzor sheyodeida shemitziyusu yizbarach shemo eino toli bezulasu klal elami atzmohu mukhar chametzias. The Rambam says this. Hashem is objectively Moses. He's not dependent on anything else. As I said, nothing he does is dependent on anything. His existence is not depending on anything. Everything else existence depends on something else. Only Hashem is objective reality. Everything else is subjective reality. Ultimately, it's subject to the will of Hashem. Hashem only has objective reality. The Rambam, in fact, says that the pasuk in Novi, Hashem Elokim Emes, from which is the reason that we say the word Emes when we finish Kriya Shema, we say Ani Hashem Elokeichem Emes, but the pasuk ends with Ani Hashem Elokeichem. We add the word Emes, and that's really the beginning of Emes V'yatzel V'nochem L'kayim V'yashar. But the idea of adding the word Emes is to sort of hook up with this pasuk of Hashem Elokim Emes. And that's why you're not allowed to be matzi between Elokeichem and Emes. Now, the Rambam in Perek Aleph of his first sefer defines the pasuk, explains the pasuk as this, what we just learned. Hashem Elokim Emes means he is truth, meaning he's objective metzius, not dependent on anything. There's no subjectivity to Hashem's existence. He's not dependent on anything. He is, objectively. He must be. He is. Chaintzar Sheyeda number 5. Shemitzius Yisbarach Shmo Mitzius Pashut. This is really a little heavy. That's why it's called Pashut. That was a joke. Okay. Hashem, we are made up of parts in two senses. I have an arm and I have a leg, which my children now have. That was a joke. I have an arm and a leg and a stomach and a mind sometimes. Right? Hashem doesn't have parts. Hashem is But more than that, I am Murkov means put together of parts. Besides physically being put together, I have wisdom and I have a memory and I get angry and I remember things and I have rahmanas on things, and these are all different attributes that a person contains within himself or herself. They're not the same, they're different. Say, what are you, more kindly or more smart? Like, they're different tracks. We're on different tracks. I have a memory and we have different tracks. Hashem doesn't have different tracks. It's very hard for us to imagine. Hashem doesn't think, the Chumash doesn't sound like it. This is why this is so hard to grasp. It's hard for the human mind to grasp. It's maybe impossible for the human mind to grasp. Hashem doesn't think of something and then do it. We have a mind which can't do, which can only think. We think of something and then we do it. Hashem, there's no Vayom Hashem Yehiyar. That's all. He doesn't. That's all there is. His will that there be or. His will that there be anything. You know, the Sukkim use of Lashon Vayomer Hashem, you know, as if Hashem made a decision and then did. He did not. That would be Murkov. He would be made up of parts, the decision-making process and the doing part of the process. Hashem doesn't work with processes. There's no process. He's not governed by time, which we really can't imagine and conceive of. He's not under time, he's above time. So there's no hemshech to anything he does. And so what does it mean Hashem spoke to Moshe? I don't know. It means he's always speaking to Moshe, so to speak. He's above time. So think of it as the whole spectrum of time, from the beginning of the world to the end. And it's like you're watching a play. A very big example, but it's the best I can do. You're watching a play, and there's 80 billion scenes going on, and the person watching the play is supposed to watch them in sequence. But they're all always going on at the same time. But I relate to it by watching it sequentially, because that's how it tells me a story. If I would just watch everything at once, it wouldn't mean anything to me. Hashem is above. Hashem is watching the 30 billion scenes taking place at once. He's above time. It's not sequential. He's not governed by time. There's nothing sequential. That's enough. I'm getting a headache. Okay. Okay. Again, in two things. Certainly in a type of physical sense. Or even in, not physical, but even in an intellectual sense. He doesn't do something with something that might be called. We do, we talk about Yad Hashem. But that's not, he doesn't do things with his Yad and think with his Moach and get angry with it. Hashem is not Murkov. There's only, that's called Pashut, not Murkov. There's no moving parts. And even things like memory and anger and happiness and decisions, and by us, they're totally different. But by Hashem, it's all Hashem. There's only one piece of Hashem, and that's it. Lihar kavu v'ribui klal v'chol hashlemius kula nimtzom bo b'derech pashut. All these perfect perfections, because he has no flaws, is all there. The Torah is pashut. It's not murkav. It's not put together. There's no different kolchos in him. Hashem's ability, he doesn't have like different parts to him where he can do this and he can do that and whoa, he can do that too and look what else he can do. You know, it's all one big glob of Hashem. Okay. This is the reality, you know. And the problem is the Chumash. Because the Chumash is talking to us and because we have to be able to, then it's very simple. The Ramchal said, we learned it, that the human mind can't conceive of Hashem. So the only way we're going to accomplish in this world what we're supposed to accomplish, which he will lay out very explicitly in the upcoming Prokim, what we are supposed to do in this world, is only, but if we can't imagine Hashem, so how could, so therefore Hashem had a talk in the language of people, and it says, Chumash Hashem said to Moshe, and then Hashem decided this, and Hashem gave the Torah on one particular day, Vav Sivan, but what do I mean, on Hey Sivan, he didn't give the Torah. That's called the Shinui in Hashem. If one day he didn't give the Torah, and another day he gave the Torah, so that means there was a change. No change in Hashem. Hashem is non-changing. He's just one simple entity that's not Murkav and non-changing. So the reason we don't can't understand it is because we can't conceive of something being above time. So we say, well, this, to us, it's Hey Sivan and Vav Sivan. So if something happened Vav Sivan, it didn't happen Hey Sivan. And the way I understand it, which is, I admit is not really understanding it, is that since he's above time, so like this Hey and Vav Sivan are always the present. They're just one thing, one glob of reality. And he's always giving the Torah on Vav Sivan, and he's always not giving the Torah. Hey, it's all one thing. So, okay. A person has many different kolchos. I have memory. And I have will. Will has nothing to do with memory. They don't cross. My imagination is another koach I have. I have rahmanas, I have decision-making processes. I have anger, I have happiness. They don't cross, they're parallel lines. They don't have nothing to do with each other. That's by a person. Hashem is not Murkav, he's not made up of parts, he is everything. Not he's everything, he has all the parts. There's no parts, it's all Hashem. Avol pi shebemes yesh bo inyonim shebonu him shonim. He has rachmonus and he has memory. This is the words we use. Hashem remembers things, Hashem gets angry, Hashem is happy, Hashem is upset. We use those words, but they're not, they're just words we use to be able to deal with Hashem, to relate to Hashem, because that's what life is all about, relating to Hashem. Ki hari hu rotze, so he has all these things. Hashem wants something, v'hu chacham, v'hu yachol, v'hu sholem v'chol shleimus. Om the mamitas mitziyuso, his real reality, hu inyan echad, shekolo ba'amitoso, hu gedero kol ma shehu shleimus. V'nimso sheyesh v'chol ha-shleimus, lo kedom r'nosef al-bohus of amitas in yano. He's not Hashem, and also he's very strong. Whatever he is called Yochol, and we call that strength, because he can do anything. So we call that strength. Hashem has all the shlemius. So he remembers everything, and he can do everything. These are words we use, verbs we use, but it means Hashem is everything. Okay. Stop here. Mrs. Noel, you have a job to do.
Wait, let me leave the room first so that they can tell you stuff I don't want to hear. Wait, how does this work here?